Two scripture readings this morning. The first is from Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18. This is the word of the Lord. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all of my possession, all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So we're in this journey of Advent. We've spoken about hope. We've spoken about peace. We've spoken about joy. And today we get to speak about love. Love is a very confusing word in the English language and in our culture. I can say I love my mom, and I can say I love pizza, and mom might be sad because she's equated to pizza. But what is love? What is love? So as we come to this topic of love, I want to look at the word that we find hidden behind the word love in 1 Corinthians 13. The scripture is originally written in Koine Greek. And so if we look at that word that Paul uses for love, we can understand a little bit of what he's going on about. He goes to great lengths to tell us about love. This graphic, this is the Mount's Reversed Interlinear New Testament. So an interlinear Bible is a Bible that's got things in between the lines, interlinear. Normally it would be the Greek with the English in between. So you could look at the Greek and read what the English is. So this is reversed. And if you go to BibleGateway.com, you can look this up. And I just put little blue squares around the word agape. And then any of those grayed out words, if you click on them, it'll give you the definition of the word on the side. So you can become Greek scholars in three or four clicks, which I did. No, just kidding. But when you see the word love, you must know that the word that is hidden below, the word that was the original word written in Koine Greek, is agape. Why do we read that? This is the word that the disciples saw when they worked and lived and moved with Jesus Christ. They saw this kind of love in action in his teachings and in what he does. When Jesus was asked what the most important command is, you might know the scripture, Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You may think this is something brand new that Jesus thought up and threw it in, adding to the original 10 commandments. But that first bit is actually found in Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second part is from Leviticus 19. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Just quickly, sidebar, we can see how Jesus used the Old Testament. We sometimes avoid the Old Testament. You don't have to do that. Jesus actually quoted the Old Testament. So these are very important commands that we read because Jesus picks them up from the Old Testament and says, these are the most important things. Your love for God will express your love for your neighbor, and your love for your neighbor will express your love for God. You can't separate these two. They're not in chronologic order. Number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor. As you love God, we see the fruit of that in those around you. And as you love those around you, we know that it's driven because of your love for God. Agape love is not a feeling for someone else kind of love. You won't find agape in a sentence like, I fell in love. For Jesus, agape love is an action. Love is an action. I put it up on a picture in case it might stick more. This is a good thing because then there's no excuse that we don't love others. If we don't love somebody, it's not because we don't have the feeling. It's simply because we've decided that we will not love. Feelings are not a part of this word. This love is to seek the well-being of other people. The love is also a love that does not expect anything in return. For Jesus, this kind of love reflected the love of the Father. The ultimate form of this love is how well you treat other people who you don't actually like, who you can't stand. Jesus said this, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. It's important to remember that Jesus didn't say things about agape love that he didn't himself do. He did all of these things. He was constantly helping and serving those around him in very practical ways. He often turned towards those that were in the deepest place of need. He showed love to those who were forgotten. With Jesus, people didn't fall through the cracks. Paul reminds us of God's love towards us. He says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a demonstration of God's love. John put it like this in 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. And because of this, we just read a few verses later in 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So agape love is a other-focused, self-giving love that Jesus demonstrates for us. But what is the context? So I do weddings from time to time, and often I'm asked to use this particular scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, in the wedding service. I'm surprised really because Ephesians 5 verse 22 isn't the scripture that people naturally call me to use. Wives, submit to your husbands. Rather go with 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. But anyway, that's just one of those things. But in the Corinthian church, the real problem was the lack of love. The problem and the breakdown that was happening in the church was because there was not love. Paul told them that God's love does not focus on themselves. Over and over, endlessly, God's love is focused on others. And when we pick up on this great definition in 1 Corinthians, it comes just after Paul has been speaking about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are those things that we have that God has given us that build up the church and that give glory to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So I might do everything because of the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has given me. But if I do those things and I do not do them with love, then they are like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. They're of no use. Then in verse 2 he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Prophecy and faith are placed so high in the Christian toolbox. But if we do those things without love, again, they are pointless. And he goes on in verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So again, he's saying giving, philanthropy, done without love is pointless. Hard work, not great if you don't do it without love. Without love, nothing is worthwhile. We can have spiritual gifts, knowledge, powerful action, and incredible generosity. But unless they're motivated by love and empowered by Christ's transforming love, they are nothing. Love needs to be viewed through a selfless lens. And love is not something that's connected to our emotions. The problem in the Church of Corinth is that the members of the church competed. They were using their spiritual gifts to try and outdo each other. And Paul corrects this by showing them that they can be impressors from a worldly point of view, but without love, they have no impressiveness. Somebody can be incredibly intelligent and lack kindness or a desire to do good for others and therefore completely miss the point. Even acts of generosity, like what we saw in the early church when people were selling their possessions and giving money to the poor, if that's not done in love, then again, it's without any point. Someone can donate a ton of money and even sacrifice for others in drastic ways, but without love, in God's eyes, that is worthless. We typically think works of generosity and sacrifice are works of love, but without love, they are works of nothing. The scripture said love is patient and therefore does not get stressed out if things do not fit into our own specific time frame. Love is kind, and so it shows compassion and concern in their moments with others. Love does not envy, boast, or be proud, and therefore is not competitive. Love is not dishonoring to others, and therefore it's not harsh or quick to put others down. Love is not self-seeking, and so it does not pay interest to itself, but is interested in others. Love is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs, and therefore is not irritable or resentful. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, and therefore does not celebrate sin or evil. It also means that truth is sought, and truth is a way of life. Integrity is not something that comes and goes, but is central to the life of a Christian. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres, which means love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and so is persistent, optimistic, and unconditional. And finally, love never fails. And therefore, if we live as people of love, we will have victory in our lives, both now and into eternity. I started talking about the context of 1 Corinthians 13. I've got a little bit sidetracked. It was written to show how gifts should be used. Paul then also includes faith and the need to love. He also includes giving and the need to love. He starts up and he unpacks this whole thing about spiritual gifts, but then he takes all of these other things into account. The definition given here by Paul is applicable in all areas where love is mentioned. It's quite okay to use this verse at weddings. But also think about what love is when we hear it mentioned in the world, in God's word, and really anywhere where you hear the word love, this definition can be held up against it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And then the important thing to remember about love is transforming. As we read the definition of love and then begin to live this kind of love, it transforms us as individuals. It has to. If we held up every interaction and every moment of our lives to this definition of love, we would be transformed. We would truly be different. This kind of love can also transform a community of believers. As we individually live like this, our church and then our community would be transformed. It's not only about the individual, but as individuals live like this in community of believers, the place becomes a place of love. So, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Real love that we are called to live is called agape love. 1 Corinthians 13 helps us understand what love looks like, and love is transforming. As we have prepared ourselves for Christmas during the season of Advent, and as we continue to prepare ourselves this morning, we look forward to the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is love in human form. God is love. This Christmas, remember that love, the love that God has for us. Remember that His love was shown in very real ways. And remember to live lives of love. I want to finish with these words from 1 John 4, verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these four Sundays of Advent. Thank you that we can remember that in you we have hope. In you we have peace. In you we have joy. And in you we have love. Thank you, Lord, that we hear what love is, and now we pray that you'll help us to be people who live this love. Help us to be people who understand more fully agape love, a love that is not a feeling love, but a love that is a decision. And help us, Lord, to make the decision when we are challenged to love. Thank you, Lord, for these great words that describe what love is. And we pray that you'll help us to take the words that Paul spoke and integrate them into our lives, Lord, that we would be people of love. And as we do that, we pray, Lord, that we would be transformed, not by our own efforts by you, but by you, Holy Spirit, working within us. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us now, help us, lead us, and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.